Stuart, thanks for your time, mate.
Pleasure.
Here at Colney, planning for Premier League again, but can we just get firstly your thoughts on the other season just gone? Just give us your overall, how do you package what the club have achieved and Daniel and the players, because record points totals, if not records, a lot of club very nearly records, you know, goals not conceded, away wins in total. It looks, if you look at the raw data, as a very, very special season, but how do you package it as somebody on the inside of this?
Yeah, I think it's an incredible achievement, you know, and it's one that Daniel and his staff, all the staff and the players should be incredibly proud of, because I think this season, you know, has put some of the players and staff up there with, you know, some of the Norwich greats. You know, I don't think that's too exaggerated point. I think, you know, people look back in 10, 15 years and go, actually, what a team that was, and what an achievement that was, because to break the record of points, and in the end by 4, so pretty convincingly, will probably stand for a long time, and well, certainly hopefully will stand for a long time if we're not in the Championship. So I think it's extraordinary to do it off the back of a relegation, a quick turnaround. You know, I remember we had a staff meeting at the end of last season after relegation, and it was like, listen guys, you know, have 3 weeks off, do whatever you need to do, get out of your system, but when we get back on day one, it's about winning the league. We'll have a squad here that is capable of winning the league. We've got staff here that are capable of winning the league because we've done it before. And it was, and I've got to say a massive thank you to all the players and staff, because from day one that was the mentality. And of course there were some bumps along the road along the way, of course there was, but the mentality was top drawer, and I'm so glad in the end that everyone got their awards with another medal. The club got its rewards with another trophy in the cabinet. Because that's something to be extremely proud of. It's you know, this club hasn't won many trophies over its illustrious history, but it's another one, and that's something to be incredibly proud of.
It is all about the team on and off the pitch. But on a personal level, funny enough, we were sat in this room, very, very same room, well, it would have been July or so after the end of the Premier League season, and that's obviously picking through what's gone wrong in terms of relegation. You said if anybody, Norwich fans, looking for a scapegoat, I'm your man, basically. Yeah. So give us your, you know, personal sense of these intervening period. You know, there must have been some dark moments. Was there any doubt on your part, and how much satisfaction do you get in terms of the guy who's really had to lead from the front, that it's come to what you've just talked about, almost a record season?
Yeah, I mean, also I'm incredibly proud of sort of everyone. I think I'll be honest, I find it easier to speak about these things off the back of relegation than on the back of promotion, to be honest. It's but what we had to do 12 months ago, or in my opinion what I needed to do, was shut the noise away. You know, we had a lot of young players who'd been relegated for the first time, a lot of staff who'd been relegated for the first time, and it's incredibly hard and incredibly difficult to get over. If you let it linger, it's tough. And you know, at that point I believed it was the right decision to take that pressure away from people, you know, for a whole host of reasons, because I believe it's true, most importantly, but it was the right thing to do. And I think all I asked of people was of Daniel, the staff and the players, was just make sure we come back with the attitude of we're winning the league and we're getting promoted again. Don't come back lingering about what has and hasn't happened. And that's all I wanted from people. And they, let's be honest, over-delivered on that. You know, they absolutely over-delivered on it. They sort of smashed it. And I'm so happy for them, because they deserve it. Because I see every day how hard people work, how hard Daniel works, how hard the staff work, how hard our players work. I still love it coming here on a Sunday, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got still players in the gym doing extras on a Sunday afternoon where they could be sat at home eating a roast dinner or doing whatever. And I love that mentality. And when people have done that, they deserve to be successful. And that's probably what hurt the most last year when we got relegated. Is I thought, you know what, this group of people don't deserve this. Obviously, we got, as a club, what we deserved. You get relegated, you know, a bit like when you win a league, you get what you deserve with it. But I see the other side of what they do and how hard they work and how much people care. And that's why it was so important at that point to protect people and look after them, because I knew that we'd be successful. There's not one part of me from the minute we got relegated which didn't think that we'd get re-promoted. That's never even got close to anything in my head, because I know what we've got here. You know, it's a bit like when you've got a car and you know what's under the bonnet. I knew what was under ours, and it was very, very good. And it was just at that point all about just managing people, keeping people together, shutting the noise away, giving people trust, giving people a bit of love to know that no, we're all right, don't worry, I know which direction we're going in, and you know, let's just keep going. So it's good. But of course it was tough, you know, when we got relegated. It becomes a lonely place as well, you know, and no more so, you know, when you're sat in my chair. You know, I'll never forget, we played Man City away, you guys would have been there no doubt, last game, and the final whistle goes, and I look around, and there's just Zoe, my wife, and I sat in the stand. You know, there's no one else there, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we're alone at this point, you know. So it's about really then working hard to sort of stick together and build momentum again and build belief in what we're doing again with the people that matter, and making sure we got back on it. But of course it's tough, you know. Success, I think there's a saying, success has a thousand fathers and failure's an orphan, you know. And last summer I was an orphan for sure. This summer a load of people want to be my father again.
Well, I follow that one, man. It's a good analogy. But this summer, we'll take it from here. This summer is obviously now looking forward, you know, in your role it's about planning for the Premier League. What does a good transfer window look like for Norwich? And I ask that in the context of two seasons ago, there were those very clear financial constraints. And again, you were very honest, I think maybe halfway through that Premier League season, you basically said you let Daniel down going into that summer transfer window in terms of the calibre of player or the type of player that you brought in. So with all of that set against going into it again this time around, what needs to happen for it to be a good window, do you feel, for Norwich?
Yeah, I think the success of a window has to be determined at the end when you look at your squad and your starting 11 and go, that's better than when we started the window. And for sure, last time it wasn't. The facts were there. I think it was only Sam Byram who ended up breaking into the team and becoming a regular. So success will be making sure that that's not the case. I think we're going in with more resource this time. It's still more resource by our standards as opposed to by other standards. So are we going to be signing a £30 million striker? Definitely not. But will we spend more money? Yes. Will we potentially need to generate some more as well? Well, yeah, that might be that we sell one of our... let's say more in demand players to help fund even a bigger sort of transfer spend. But that's about being open and honest and realistic about that, because we'd only sell one of them if it was right for us. We're not going to sell one just to build up a transfer fund, because maybe the better value is in keeping these players, right? But the fact is we have to improve. We have to have players who can come and impact it on day one. And that doesn't necessarily mean a group of 28-year-olds, but certainly it's got to be players who we think can improve our starting 11 and, you know, and give Daniel some really nice problems. We've also got to work in harder in making sure that we keep our players fit. You know, if you remember last time, you know, our main centre back from the year before, Christoph Zimmermann, gets injured in pre-season, you know, and it's tough then going into a Premier League season with, you know, Grant Hanley, who'd hardly played, coming in at centre back with no rhythm, and Ben Godfrey was a midfield player 6 months earlier, if you remember, playing at centre half, going to Anfield, and it's like, oh, here we go. It's tough. So we've got to make sure that, you know, people like Grant, who's had a fantastic season, he comes in, he's fit, he's ready, bang, and we look after, you know, our best players to make sure that we've got them on the pitch as well. So it's lots of things we've got to do to make sure we give ourselves the best chance. Because let's be honest, we had times this year with 13, 14 players missing. If that happens next year, we lose. Like we had 2 years ago at Villa when they slapped us here 5-1 and we had, I think it was 8, 9, 10 injuries. We can't compete then, because we're not going to have a squad of 25 top players, because we can't afford that. You know, we have to have a squad which is going to be quite tight with as many top players as we can get, but that's definitely going to be less than our competitors. So we've then got to make sure we look after them as well.
I mean, you said that you're in demand players. I think we'd all sort of probably concur that's the likes of Max Aarons and Emi Buendia, Todd Cantwell. Is it inevitable one or more of those will have to go this winter?
I'm not sure it's inevitable. I think it's definitely possible, though. And I'm not going to sit here and say they're staying forever, because that's not right, you know. And there's a number of reasons. One is maybe one of their journeys may end with us, you know, because all three of them players have been unbelievable for the club since they either stepped into the club as an outsider like Emi, or since being promoted from the academy with Todd and Max. And they've done unbelievable things for this club. They've all played over 100 games now, which is, you know, incredible, really. And, you know, I think people are talking about Emi as, you know, one of the best players they've ever seen in a Norwich shirt, you know, and that's people who've watched Norwich for a long, long time. And, you know, I respect their opinion on that, and I'm not going to sit here and change their minds. But I think we also have to keep their ambitions in mind. You know, if a big, big club comes for one of these, we have to be respectful to the player, because a big part of our success is built on giving boys opportunities, backing them, developing them, working with them. It doesn't work then if, when the time comes to go, if everything's right, we don't let them. Because then it's not only the resentment you get from that individual player, it's also the rest of the dressing room and potential future players from the academy or signings going, well, they've just turned down that. That doesn't seem actually fair. And I think we have to be open and realistic to that, but knowing that only a player will only ever be sold on our terms. If anyone wants any of them guys, they're going to have to break our club transfer record to even get me to answer the phone, to be honest. And all three players are aware of that. You know, I think the great thing is, with being back in the Premier League, there's less of an urgency for them to go, because they're now playing in the best league in the world, in a good team, with a coach who trusts them, in a style of play which certainly suits them. So there's, you know, there's probably not the angst of, you know, I must leave, which is, you know, which maybe happens when you're in the Championship, understandably, because all three of them deserve to play at the highest level possible. So yeah, of course, if we're in the Championship now, I'd probably be answering that question very differently.
Just one follow up on that, and we'll move off those three. But obviously, Todd Cantwell, I think his contract situation, he's probably got 2 years left. I know one of those is an option. Does that impact your thinking from the club side this summer, that clearly, you know, there's a potentially very highly valued asset who is not in the final stages, but is getting to a point within contractual cycles that you need to do something with it?
Yeah, potentially. I think we need to see what happens over the summer. I think the good, what you get with Todd is, being a local lad, is a high level of loyalty, you know, to the club. He's been well looked after by the club and given great opportunities. So I think the beauty of having a long time with these guys is you get to know them a bit better, maybe. But yeah, I mean, that's something we'll look at as and when we sort of need to. We're obviously aware of it. But I think it'll be important to see what happens over the summer. It's important that he gets a breather now as well, because he's played a hell of a lot of football in 18 months, and, you know, comes back with the, yeah, you know what, I'm going to fight to keep Norwich in the Premier League, or maybe a fantastic offer comes and it's like, you know what, I've got to do what's right for me. And I think either way, as a club, we always look after our players. So if, when the time comes that any of these guys need a new contract, that they'll get it and they'll be well rewarded, and they know that because we've got a great track record of doing that. But also, if it's time to go, it's time to go as well, and we fully respect that.
Generally, in terms of the transfer market this summer, what impact do you think the pandemic in terms of the finances will do with transfer fees and ins and outs?
Yeah, I think it'll be quite big. I think it'll make for a slow market. I think also having the Euros on this summer doesn't help that. And I still think the uncertainty about whether supporters are back next year will have a knock-on effect as well, of course. I think prices and wages will come down for certain players, but I think the best ones will still always demand the best. And if big clubs want players, they can still afford it. Let's be honest, if you've got a billionaire owner, they can still afford it. what it'll probably do, I imagine, certainly championship level down, I think that's where it'll start to be squeezed and become a lot less, because, you know, I can only talk from our experience. If we'd stayed in the championship, what we'd be able to do would be greatly reduced, because, you know, we've lost over 30 million now because of COVID. So you know, that's a big hole to fill for any club. So I think it will be a different market. I think it'll be slow, but I think in the end, I think you'll still see a lot of movement within the market.
In terms of, to ask two specific areas, in terms of maybe adding over the summer, guy who had an unbelievable impact, sadly ended with injury, but Tottenham, Ollie Skip, is there any potential there? Is that something you'd love to, if the cards fell right, getting back here for next season?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've spoke to Spurs already, spoke obviously to Oliver already, and obviously his representative, his agent. We'd love to keep him, but I think there's a few things just need to fall in place for that. You know, he's got to get over his injury, of course. Who the Tottenham head coach is going to be, what their transfer strategy would be, where do they finish in the league, that might impact all of them things. So what I would say is, you know, we're incredibly grateful to Tottenham for letting us look after Ollie for a year. We're incredibly grateful for him choosing to come here as well. He had other options. I think it's been a perfect loan from all sides. I think all three parties can genuinely sit there and go, that was, other than the injury at the end, but that's life, is actually perfect. And if we can continue that, that would be great. You know, we're obviously very biased to think that this would be a great place for him to continue his development within the Premier League, but we would say that. I'm sure we're not the only Premier League club who would want to take him now. So we'll see what happens. But I think what's key for us is we'll always leave a place open for him, because his impact here is huge. I'm just gutted that the supporters didn't get to see him, because I think he's the type of player true football fans love to watch. You know, he's still got an old school tackle in him. Is, you know, he's got that ability to run and drive forward. His passing's top. Great character. Yeah, so I just hope that, hopefully for us, our fans get to see him in a Norwich shirt one day. If not, you know, I hope he plays against us at Carrow Road, so he can still get the reception that he deserves, because he does deserve that, because he's been a huge part of the success of this season. You know, it's taken a lot to push Alex Tetti out of the team, let's be honest. And he's done that, and he's done it in style. So I think, you know, he'll always be a part of this club now, and, you know, he leaves us a champion. Hopefully he'll come back and help us be part of staying in the Premier League, which would be a perfect next step for us, but like I say, it's not in our hands.
And then just where are we in terms of Audrey Neeland? We knew he was on a short term deal to the end of the current season that's just passed. Is there anything that can happen in that area, or are you having to weigh up other options?
Yeah, so we're in talks with him at the moment. You know, he's deciding what he wants to do as well, because I think it's clear, you know, Tim's our number one, and that's not going to be given up in a hurry, because of, let's be honest, he's been incredible. You know, and Neuland has come back from injury. He's got himself fit. He's got, you know, he's 30 years old. Is right, do I need to go somewhere and play? And that's a big decision for him. And, you know, we've said to his agent, take your time. There's no rush. There's no rush from our side. Of course, we'll be weighing up other options along the way. But we'll see what happens. But he's done well in training. He's a good guy. He's a good goalkeeper. He's someone we've liked for a long time, before he went to Villa, actually, when he was at Ingolstadt. So he's someone we've watched for a long time, but we'll wait and see. It's not something that needs to happen incredibly sort of quickly from our side or his, so we respect that he wants a bit of time, and he respects that we want a bit of time.
Okay. And a couple more areas if I can. We've already touched on contracts in terms of players, talked about Todd. But yourself and Daniel currently about to enter the final 12 months of your existing deals. Where are we with that? Is there any update in those areas?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to Daniel during the March international break about sort of where, you know, what he's thinking next, you know, in terms of his career. Obviously that will stay private, and, you know, we agreed to speak at the end of the season, which we have done. You know, we'd like to enter into a new contract with him, of which he's also happy to do. You know, he loves it here. He loves the club here, and obviously we love him, and it's a real mutual respect, which is sometimes quite rare in football. But I think it's genuine. I think he knows he's been backed very much so in difficult times, and we know he's backed us very much so in difficult times. And again, I'm sure, in 10, 15 years or whatever, people will look back and go, he's probably, you know, one of the greatest managers to ever manage his club, and huge respect for that. So we'd like to extend it, he'd like to extend it, and we'll have conversations now over the summer. I think what's been important for us all is, you know, this season has been so hectic, as was the end of last season, was to just get it done, get this job done, and then almost think about other things in the summer. And now we've got some time to do that, and he's enjoying some well-earned downtime, and I'm sure we'll sort his contract out in due course.
And yourself, obviously such an intrinsic relationship, the two of you came in more or less together. I know you was slightly in before him and then brought him in, and you probably wouldn't want to take too much credit, but a lot of where this club is now is founded on the work that you two have done and the personal chemistry as well. So is his situation interlinked with what you would feel in terms of your own situation moving forward?
No, you know, we're two very, very separate people who get on incredibly well and work well, incredibly well together, I think. But you know, the most important thing for the club is that we sort out his immediate future. That's really important for the club. Mine's relatively irrelevant, really. Certainly, from my point of view, I've always been crystal clear with Delia and Michael that I'll never leave them in the lurch. And I wouldn't I wouldn't put the club at any risk. So if in 12 months time when my contract up I need to stay a bit longer to help the club, I'm open to doing that. At the same time, in 12 months if the club want me to disappear, I'll disappear as well. I fully respect that. So yeah, but you know, most important is that we get Daniel settled, which he is, but even more so we sort out the transfer window this summer more than my future. I think it's probably more of an issue for you guys than internal. I think if I felt it was damaging from an internal point of view, it'd be different. But I know it isn't. It's not a topic here. And that's, to be honest, that's the only bit I really care about.
Understood. Just one final point on your situation. You've made it very clear that at some point you'd like to go and work abroad, test yourself in a different environment. But has the impact of the pandemic made you not rethink that, but maybe in terms of the timescale of how you'd like to do these things, just because of the, you know, not that anything's been put on hold, obviously, but it feels that, you know, maybe the rate of a lot of the things you'd wanted to bed in here hasn't been able to happen because of the whole impact of the pandemic?
Yeah, potentially. I think, you know, it's definitely not the time to be going abroad, is it, with the old pandemic going on? Also, we need to find out what Brexit actually has effect on British people wanting to live and work abroad, because obviously we become non-European now in terms of going into these European countries. So we'll see. But you know, I've never hidden the fact I want to work abroad, but at the same time I'm not sat there chasing something that, you know, I want to walk straight into a job in 12 months time. If there's not a job there, I'm also comfortable having time out. I'm also comfortable working not in football, to be honest. It's not the be all and end all for me to just do this job. So yeah, we'll see. I think in terms of in the club, I think we're still in a good path considering the pandemic. Could we be further down the line? Well, yeah, if that hadn't have hit us, definitely. And you know, and again, that's why if in 12 months time it's not the right time to leave the club from the club's point of view, then of course I'll never leave it in the lurch, you know, because there's a lot of people here who have come here because of me and work closely with me, and the owners have given me and the board incredible trust from day one. So yeah, it's not something I need to necessarily sort of run away from, but it's about what's right for the club, and that's all I care about, to be honest.
Okay, and then just on a final point, if you had to distill it down now, what does the club, what do individuals, the Daniel side of the business, what you're doing off the pitch, what do you need to do better to achieve ultimately what you're trying to achieve in the Premier League next season, and different to obviously two seasons ago?
I think we've got to do everything better. You know, we've got to defend better. We've got to do better at set pieces. We've got to score more of our big chances. We've got to take better chances. You know, we've got to recruit better players. We've got to have a better environment at the training ground. We've got to deal with defeats better. We've got to deal with wins better. So I think it's, you know, in the Premier League, we did do lots of things right as well. But I think what's important for us is to really focus on everyone just being better, you know, and that shouldn't change, because, you know, even with getting relegated, we've done things this year so much better than last year. You know, we made changes around what we do in the restaurant area, which has made us better for sure. And that's as a championship club. So, that, you know, we're already better prepared now from a nutrition and performance side going into the Premier League. So I think it's that constant striving. And that shouldn't change whether we're relegated, whether we stay up, whether we win the Premier League. It should be, well, the next year should be the same. But for sure, I think it's every area.